Friendly Geordies podcast. Hello, everyone. We have a huge announcement for you. Miss Love, do you care to give us the details?
I roasted a dog and I ate it.
Because your car was broken down for 2 hours? I don't think we have a choice. You ate your dog Lottie because of that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You'd be really prepared for the post-apocalyptic world, I guess, but at the same time.
No.
Very psychopathic, isn't it?
What's happened is, I mean, you might be a little bit more qualified to field this question, but essentially we have, in my understanding, I think you've been promoted, and my promotion is pending, but promotions nonetheless, it seems.
Yeah, we're breakfast radio stars now in a town of 10,000 loggers who just sit there going, "Shut up and get back to Jessica Alba. What's happening in her life?" We have celebrity gossip now that we have to go through, as well as star guides. And I'm all for star guides.
Is that horoscopes?
Yes.
I'm all for that too, because every single one I've read, I'm like, it's true, man.
Yeah, I agree. I've got a little bit better grounding in horoscopes, I'd imagine, than you do, Miss Love, because I'm guessing that you just read it on MX Magazine on the train.
Yes! You're 100% spot on.
Do you ever look at anybody else's or you go, "What did you say about me?"
I glance at the others. I glance at one or two just to see how different they are from the... I glance at the others more out of suspicion that they're ripping us all off and that they could all literally be the same. But
I don't think anybody would notice if the exact same prediction for all 12 star signs.
honestly, we could get
away
with it.
You're the only one that's checking up on this.
I'm the only one in probably the country. Me and like maybe one other like Indian businessman that like are checking this. But
his English is too broken to complain properly.
But yeah, I they seem to do pretty well for me. But yeah, we could probably go into somewhat amount of detail without getting into any hot water. But 2LT's shifting, and your boys might have...
As is Move FM, which is the station that we're on.
That's what I meant.
Miss Love seems to keep thinking that we're on the AM radio station that has a piece of technology running it that is from World War II. And every time you go in there, I don't care if it's 9 a.m. in the morning, which is when his shift is, or 12 p.m. at night, it is always Ray Hadley.
Yeah,
does
that's
that man
right.
ever
yeah.
get off the microphone? Or does he sit there and... he must just have a toilet underneath him. Wait, the one song he plays an hour, which is usually Pharrell's Happy, while that's it's just scoffing down a subway on the hour, every hour. It's what gives me energy. From high school was right. The subway meatball sandwich
sub is mad. Are we allowed to... I think he's going to be our new boss. Are we allowed to be saying this about... old Rads?
Well, he's not here. There's no way that he'd be listening to Lift Go FM.
Everywhere.
Which is great, because this is the funnest part about it. It doesn't matter how bad we are on Move. That's what's so... It's great to know that you can put in as little or as much effort as possible. We have the plum job in Australian radio.
Can our mates down in Sydney and across Australia tune in?
Yes, but I don't know how. But there's... It would definitely, you'd be able to do
my
so
God.
Via the net.
Yes! We are so making this a thing. We are so making our audience tune in via ham radio, however the hell is the medium, to listen to us on Move. I'm so keen for that. Maybe we can maybe we can bring up the ratings, like significantly. Like,
well, that's what happened the other day. We had a call-in segment. And I was so surprised about this, because in FBI, we used to do call-in segments as well. But I've got an audience. And
yeah.
You know how to use your phone, huh? You don't have to rub it into the rest of it.
So, yeah. And how was that, comparatively?
Well, two people rang up.
Zero or just two?
You could put a zero on the end, except for 2. You'd have to put 0. A point in between. Yep.
Like the new Vegemite. Except they were worse than the new Vegemite. So is that a record? Is that literally like in The Simpsons where they're just like,
two calls, that's this our is best a record. Ever.
I think it actually was. Have technically brought it up. Now, let's move on to the thing that I'm most excited about in this pod, which is Miss Love's dad giving Miss Love life advice.
Read the segment.
Shit Miss Love's dad says.
You have to say it. It's so perfect. Why? You can't perfect on that. So
it's advice from the old country.
It's advice from the old country. Essentially,
things that we've forgotten in our modern newfangled life, such as putting a lot of salt on fish. I don't know if it tastes good, but it's edible.
Hey, it's your culture
you
too.
You always need to have a bunch of pickles next to it. And olives that don't seem to be quite ripe yet. And that seems to be... we've already covered one of the bases of what he really laments about the modern world. The fact that we have every cuisine at our disposal. No, just undone olives and extremely salted fish.
Essentially, my dad is an old Croatian man that bestows wisdom onto me incrementally. And he does it so often that I essentially... When we were brainstorming about what to bring into the pod and segments that we can talk about, it just presented itself upon me because I would just be reading these messages and I'm like, this stuff writes itself, baby. You know what I mean? It was just like, I didn't have to do anything. It was just presented and I'm like, genius.
I imagine it would be. I haven't met your dad before, but I have seen paintings that he's painted.
Mm.
And... pretty sure that he was suffering with depression at least one point in his life. but on top of that, I really need to ask you this before we get into it, Miss Love. Does your dad own a piano tie?
Interesting you bring that up. He doesn't own a tie. He was one of those rebel dads in the 90s that was self-employed, I think mainly for the reason to not have to wear a tie, because he saw it as breaking the shackles of the white man in the Western world. Him wearing a tie.
Didn't we invent the tie? Croatians created the tie.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Actually?
That's amazing that he thought.
Maybe it was a breakaway.
I'm going to end the evil. It started with me. It ends with me.
Well, you know what? That probably was the case. He probably knew that and was rebelling because he did leave Croatia when it was communist in a fervent hate towards it. So maybe that was like the shackles, you know, but you know how like white dads, oh, not just white, a lot of dads around the world have that thing of like, I can unbutton the top button of my shirt.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, exactly.
The man.
Yeah, exactly. That was him. Yep, that was him. That was my dad. So not only does he not own a piano tie, he owns no ties. He owns, this is what he owns, probably two pairs of pants and a shirt that he found in the street that says rug up on the back of it. And on the R, there's a picture of the condom and he washed it and he wears it so much and it's his favorite. He loves it so much. And then at the front of the shirt, it says one of the 1,000 or something. And no matter how many times I tell him, he's wearing a shirt that is pronouncing to the world that he has AIDS and is proud of it. He still doesn't take it off. How much is that all dads? And that's a true story.
That's amazing that man is that unself-aware. It's almost as if he's a modern-day Sophocles who used to purposefully wear bum clothes so as not to be embarrassed by the things that don't matter.
That's what he is.
This is a wise man.
That's what he is. He doesn't like possessions. He rides right now. Okay. He just moved back to Croatia because he has a house there. Fair enough. It's beautiful. It's on the water and everything. But his granddad built it for him. Like, it's like in his family, many generations. And
does he call his granddad Pip?
Well, his
three P's.
Probably.
Four P's.
But he just roams the hillside on his bike and eats fish. That's all he does. He probably owns like one pair of pants. That's all he does. And he listens to classical music. He just listens to classical music and paints. So he essentially is that. And
I think everybody
that's
listening to this, no, it's not all dads.
It's not?
Most dads sit there and watch The Block, and if you ask them any question at all, they go, shut up. That's their advice.
Yes. That is incredible. That is actually incredible.
That and ask how many girls you've had sex with, and if the number is less than 10,
then you're a pussy. You're a failure.
Yeah. Now, so give us the advice for the modern day Sophocles.
All right, here we go.
Because he has life sorted out. Everybody must be jealous of that lifestyle, surely. Living in the Mediterranean, eating fish, and listening to classical music while painting.
Well, I mean, I think, he has it down, and there's a lot of these. Have you got the Croatian music? Because I feel like you should get that up while I say this, just in the background, just quietly, because I think it'll add to the experience of how he is.
Absolutely.
Mislev.
This is a message. So good. So good.
Tomorrow, I must go to my dentist in Zagreb. Very costly, but still cheaper than in Sydney. Don't forget flossing.
Come on. It's just so on point. And I have heaps of these. This will be a reoccurring segment.
I thought he had advice about life.
Well, that's kind of, don't forget flossing.
Should we move on to the next segment?
Yeah, we should.
All right. Let's move on to some actual advice, shall we?
I guarantee you that the audience was really impressed and satisfied with that.
I suppose both of them don't actually floss, and they would have gone, oh, noted, Miss Love's dad. However, I will continue to not and just pay the costly dentist bills. So we're moving on to the point of today, which is, guys, good on you, first of all, for listening to an audio medium, because it's slowing your brain down in today's hectic world, what with everything being instant. Pop-Tarts having just been invented, comparatively. I mean, in the span of how long dinosaurs have been on the planet and how long we've had Pop-Tarts with chocolate and sprinkles on top of them.
Yeah.
I think dinosaurs have been around longer. They've had a longer run so far. We don't know how far Pop-Tarts will evolve into the future. Maybe they will turn into a predatory creature that eats us instead. Who knows?
Only this man could turn Pop-Tarts into this long-winded philosophy. This is why he has a career, ladies and gentlemen. They are very sweet.
You're listening to filler in between ads, which is the same ad over and over again about McDonald's having coffee. We know.
We know, and we've tried it.
Yes.
And it's instant coffee's way better. Although that opinion is going to change very soon when we're on radio. are you trying? I assume you're segueing into the effects of social media on our brains and how it is turning us into dimmed light bulbs.
Yeah, making us done thinky think baddy bad.
Yeah, you know what? Before you even jump into it, me just being the average Joe. No scientific perspective whatsoever, but from anecdotal evidence.
I can't believe it, Misov. Just if everybody who's listening, Misov looks like a failed mechanic today.
So much worse that it's a failed one too. So
it doesn't
much
seem
worse.
Hard. If anybody is a mechanic, write it and tell us how difficult it is. And if it's extremely difficult, tell us that it's gut wrenchingly bad, but if it's easy, say it's easy peasy filiped squeezy.
Jesus Christ. Long-winded. I can safely say I feel like I can feel the effects of it. Sitting on the computer, being on Facebook and being anxious, which it does to me, versus not having access to your phone and taking your dog for a walk, essentially just exercising in the cold mountains air, which you and I are now acclimatized to. The difference... We're mountain men. The effects are profound. Just my experience. But I want to hear what you say.
It's absolutely much better. And basically, you've hit the nail on the head. And now, get ready for the funnest part of anyone's life, listening to a bunch of statistics and facts that back up something that could have been said in two sentences. So
this your mechanic's got balls.
That's your biggest attribute, I think, Mislav, is that you are a traveling poet that has natural talent but no initiative to really get to the next level.
But God, it's depressing. Thank you, though. Thank you.
It's the life of an artist. Someone has to suffer.
What a
so
joke.
That the rest of us know.
Yeah, what a joke. That's such a cop-out for artists. So, like, I could have made that album, but I've been too tormented. It's like, could you have, or do you suck, though? Because I feel like maybe it's that you suck. And being lazy counts as sucking, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, Slash is...
Oh, God, don't... You've just cheapened the pod 20% by saying his name.
Oh, God. Okay, we'll talk about that in a second because I love hearing you trash 80s glam rock.
It's one of your favorite things.
It's
one of your favorite things.
It's got to be that. It's up there. The love and affection that I get from my girlfriend slash dog.
Yeah.
And the slash in between, of course. So we're going to be talking about the fact that when you are listening to, when you're on social media, essentially what's happening, and there's a lot of research that's come into this, because it's so scattered and it's constantly demanding your attention, and they get the same quote-unquote attention engineers that Vegas uses. Tim just gave us the peace sign.
Peace
Live
out.
Long and prosper, Tim, whose peace radio out. Station is currently
crashing
destroyed.
And yes. Good luck running. Good luck steering the Titanic as it goes down.
Yeah.
Let's get a second iceberg.
Let's check in his second glove compartment of his car, and if there's a gun in there, let's just remove that.
Let's remove that. Let's definitely remove that and shoot some signs because that sounds so fun. So what you're saying already is like hitting home massively to me. So continue.
So
you'd be surprised.
A lot of people are saying that that social media is a necessary tool, and it is for me. Who is just another smut peddler, I guess, in this scenario.
Well, I think obviously there's huge opportunity. I mean, there's no way you can get your brand out there or your art out there. It's like a blessing. It is.
Yes.
It is.
But here's my point. Everybody should reduce the amount of social media that they consume to an hour a day. And we've already talked about it to the self-control app, but wouldn't that make life so much better?
Yes.
Because at the moment, what you're doing is living this gross half-life where when you go to sleep, watch this.
It's depressing, but yeah.
Absolutely. When you're on your phone 2 hours before you go to sleep, you'll notice this. I remember as a kid that I used to have in my head this epic story that I used to go to sleep with every night creating this little empire in my garden.
You had
and constantly invading the grasshoppers and then going on to the aphids and then having a giant war with the termites who were always their perpetual enemy. That's supposed to be like Carthage and Rome.
Well, first of all, nerd. Second of all, yes. Like, there is a part of your brain that you have to have when you're falling asleep that has... It's the narrative. It's the serotonin, the imagination that sort of blossoms when you're sleeping because it's just there. It's a little bit of hard work for you to create, but once it's there, it's like awesome. I have something that I can explore that can go anywhere, and I'm not thinking about sheep or I'm thinking about something. You're forced to be creative.
Yes,
boredom creates creativity. I mean, the guy in bloody Queens of the Stone Age. I was reading an interview, and he said. Something very this is a bit of a deviation, but just quickly, he said that if I was raised with an iPhone, I probably would have never picked up a guitar.
Exactly.
Because he said the only reason he picked up a guitar was because he was bored. He was so bored that he was like, I need to create something. And he went down that road. But if you have an instantaneous medium that does the creation for you, there's no need.
Which is constantly feeding you new little bits of information.
In a really evil way.
Which releases into your mind, exactly, dopamine.
Dopamine, yeah.
As opposed to serotonin, which is what you get when you are interacting with another person.
Oh, wow.
Like right now.
Wow.
So, and serotonin is the thing that is... Actually, what babies need, and if they don't get a mother touching them, 9 out of 10 of them will shrivel up
and die. I know.
Just from that.
That's insane.
It is extremely necessary, and dopamine isn't necessary at all. And it is the same drug that is released into your brain when you are an alcoholic, when you're addicted to pokies, and when you're a heroin junkie.
Whoa.
And these tools are releasing that into your brain consistently. So the whole world now is essentially a heroin addict.
Oh, my God. That is so frightening.
Yeah, it's almost as scary as the episode of Goosebumps, The Haunted Mask. But still, I think as we were talking about, the fact that they have
a crappy dog sample barking that's clearly fake, that was on Windows 93.
Is that what you thought it was? Because I was 100% certain that there was this bizarre phase from maybe 93 to 97 that Casio went through where they just added
he's got it. He's got it. You're right. That's what it was.
And it was always 67. They were running out at that point. Like, it was like woof, Pokemon woof, after a while where they just had woof, woof, seal.
Yeah.
And it was a seal. We were getting to that phase. We were getting to that stage in it.
Woof, woof. Yeah, definitely.
And it was just a dog bark. There is no way that was used for any musical composition. I sincerely doubt that Hans Zimmer ever sat down and seriously contemplated using that.
It was
if he was composing Milo and Otis, he would have sat there and go, it's too obvious.
So
what's happening with your serotonin in your brain is that you are actually reducing that because dopamine is more instantaneous. It gives you a quick hit. There is no way that you can compete with it because, first of all, when you talk to a person, there's usually a 5-minute interaction unless you're very good friends with them where it's slightly awkward. But then after that, the chemicals start to release and it's good for you and it's good for them. It's a symbiotic relationship, right?
Yeah.
But dopamine instantly just goes, someone likes you. Oh, another message. And it just keeps hitting you with all these little updates consistently. And every time one of them drops, it's just like giving a rat a continual slight dose of morphine for the rest of its life.
Let me be blunt, Questy. Are these effects I want to know how profound. I'm talking long term. I'm just, as a social analyst or even as a scientist. Do you think we're going to start seeing dramatic effects of this like 10 years down the line? What will be the effects? What do you think? It'll just be a slight numbing.
This is the scariest part.
What will be the effects?
Economists are now factoring this in to growth across the planet into the future. Futurists are looking into this and they're saying that this has destroyed Generation Ys and the millennials. I don't know if they're interchangeable.
Which one's Y? Y is the latest one, right?
No, I think they used to be called Gen Y, and then they started calling them millennials because they couldn't be bothered coming up with a generation
for the next one. Lazy pricks.
So they kind of just morphed us in.
Right.
So we're still on par with people that are 15 at the moment, which didn't used to happen.
God.
So we are talking about, so anyway.
So what do they think is going to happen?
They think because this is destroyed an entire generation's
creativity?
Ability to concentrate.
Oh, to concentrate, yeah.
That's the absolute cornerstone of all human success. Creative,
imagination,
engineering, construction, mathematics, all of it is the ability to maintain sustained concentration.
Of course. I mean, exam. Dude, I don't think I could do an exam now because of this. I don't think I could do an exam. How much harder would it be to study for a kid today?
Well, that's what I'm talking to teachers.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Because I'm so upset about this. So I've asked a couple that I know, and they're saying every
Kim
year
Beasley.
It is worse.
The new Kim Beasley. Yeah, every year it's
I've
worse.
I've had liposuction.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
You would love Kim Beasley,
wouldn't
you? Kim Beasley? I feel like you would love him.
Oh, he's a cuddly bear. I do love him, and I would be very happy if I was...
He came back. We're coming back.
Yeah, sure, why not? That's fine. Look, I don't care who's the head of the Labour Party as long as they're in, but the thing is that he's... Nah, there's better ones. Okay, so let's just keep it at that. All right. But he is a nice guy.
All right.
His
all
heart's
right.
at the right place.
All right.
And it would be extremely happy to me if in high school I was just Kim Beazley with a cap backwards going, cowabunga, dude, watch hanging my main man, Mish Love. And you never notice that I'm a fat 64-year-old man.
Have you ever heard of the unions, dude? Shut up, man. Shut up, you freaking loser. Anyway, continue. Yes.
So they're factoring that in, and then teachers are telling me that every year,
they're dumber and dumber, aren't they?
Not even that, just the ability for them to concentrate is noticeably worse than the year before, because
so scary.
The kids looking at iPads now,
that is so
they're
scary.
Growing up. They're growing up and they're moving into the school system.
Can we just take a moment, like in all seriousness, and I think about this a lot. Like every day, there's something that we were lucky to grow up with, or rather lucky to grow up not having. Can we acknowledge how lucky were we when we grew up? And especially in high school, how lucky were we? I think it was perfect. The internet was there, so we could play Stickman, you know? We could watch those Stickman videos where they shoot and the stick penis goes from the Matrix. They're doing the fake Matrix shootout. And they've got like the, yeah, I'm ready of no human fucking being, like the hilarious videos. But we weren't...
G.I. Joe voiceovers. The internet peaked...
In 2008.
Okay. I'll
seven,
give
maybe
it.
Seven. Oh, 6 to 8. Who cares? Between that time. And we
Whatever.
Were,
we're not purists.
And we were extremely, extremely lucky, profoundly lucky, more than we realize, to be in that time. When phones were still... we still had phones where if your mate threw it against the wall and it smashed, everyone would laugh and you'd kind of be like, oh, it's so annoying, but it's still pretty funny. Like, kids don't have that anymore. Kids are... the phones are like... and extensions of themselves. And I'm not judging because I'm part of it now too because...
Well, that's what they're saying is that now when teachers take the phone away from the kid...
I bet.
Yes, there's the crying, but there's also violent outbursts.
Oh, man.
So it's like it's like an ice junkie going through withdrawals.
I don't want to Alex Jones this, but do you think this is some... there could be some conspiracy that they were introduced to control the population?
You can think that. I think it's far more likely that they have an incentive to keep you fixated on their product as long as possible. And so, as Facebook has attention engineers designing so you stay there as long as possible.
What's the solution? What's the solution?
The solution is everybody out there, get the app Self-Control. I cannot stress this enough.
I tried to get
block
that.
Block your internet out for... even 2 hours, just give yourself, especially deep concentration, because you will have a massive advantage moving forward if you are able to accumulate a skill. I was sitting there the other day, it's definitely worked for me. Ever since I've moved up here and I haven't had access to the internet, the length that I've been able to concentrate, so much better. And instead of going, I'm bored, I'm going to see what my Facebook updates are, now I go, I'm bored, I'm going to go have a 20-minute nap outside, and I just lie on my dog and listen to birds for 20 minutes.
So much more beautiful. I think the effects are profound. Like, you know, there are advantages, but it's all about the details in life. It's all about the gray area. And like the gray area is...
getting
you
phased
can have
out.
It, you can have it, and I understand, use it, but force yourself to... you don't allow yourself to use it for the majority of the day. And it's like, oh, it's so brutal that this is...
And all the research is showing as well that the longer you stay on social media, the more depressed you get.
Oh.
In fact, Instagram is the lowest of the low, apparently, because it's all pictures, and it's all pictures of super hot women going, here I am in the Greek islands partying it up.
Holding a...
I never showed the picture of when there was like 17 dudes coming up to me in a row saying, hey, you like to party? The exact same picture.
You like to party?
Every Euro trash guy, there's nothing else that they say to a chick when they approach them, is there?
Possibly, you're beautiful. Do you know this? That's possible.
I think we're just going to have to move on to Miss Love and I's most favorite human being on the planet now. Speaking of internet distractions, we've got to talk about it. We have not laughed this much about a single entity.
Everyone's going to think we're creeps.
I think since Will Smith's very lackluster comeback to hip hop when he released that album, Switch.
Switch.
But we have a new champion. And it is the Italian Stallion, Rocco Siffredi.
We're not creeps, everyone.
Maybe we are. Maybe we are. You speak for yourself, Mustafa. I've seen that man do unspeakable things, and
the
I laugh.
The ace. So what do you want to talk about? Because
we've got to talk about the thing that has been... I've sent him the meme yesterday. This has to be the greatest line pornographic history. If you're squeamish, you can fast forward.
Who am I kidding? Our audience...
Pussy, you're such a pussy.
Who am I kidding? Our audience exclusively are like people that stay at home and have Doritos on their chest while they masturbate.
100% of them would know Rocco Siffredi.
Yeah.
And 100% of them would have cheesel dust as lube while they're doing it because they're that lazy. And we're no better.
No, we're no better.
We've done it.
Oh, we're so good.
We've rode the cheese dust mountain.
No highway. The cheese and bacon highway.
Whatever floats your boat.
That's
so
does.
We've got to say...
So what
this
is it?
Line the... of Rocco Siffredi?
Hit me, because I know it, but hit me again.
With, and it's a huge meme I found out as well, and I'm so glad it is. There is an ass to mouth scene, and if you don't know what that is,
change podcast.
but you're
on the wrong podcast. Joe Rogan's that away, man.
Oh, he's definitely talked about ass.
Yeah,
to
I know
mouth.
That's a bad example.
Joe Rogan. Probably that would be his breakfast, I reckon.
Yeah, true. Sorry, World War II with James Jones is that away. God, he would be into it too. All podcasters are into this. What am I talking about?
Before we get on to D-Day and Normandy, we have to talk about the invention of A to M. That scene's happening. He takes his penis out. He shows it to the girl. The girl goes, "I'm not sucking that." And then he says, quote, "Relax, baby. It's only smells. It's only smells."
It's only smells.
And ever since then, Ms. Love and I have been obsessively looking up this man's history. And we found out that he's releasing a documentary.
Is this
a divine intervention from the universe? I'm going to have to chalk it down to 100% yes.
Me too. 100% yes. We were just fascinated at, like, what is this man, if you can call him that? Like, what is this?
Is anyone more of a man than him?
No, he's a stallion in the truest sense. But we just started.
You're so right.
But
he is a horse that is bred continuously.
Yeah, to procreate.
Until every last ounce of semen is dried out, and then they force feed him prunes so they can get more.
And he loves it, but just the creepiness of his Euro trash, and we kind of observed the vast array of isms that he uses, and they're hilarious. There's no shortage of... Essentially, let's bust some of these out. Give me some right now. What, like, he's got
show me that ace. Show me that ace. Oh my god. Oh my god, that ace.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god.
And this. Use baby.
Do you want it in the pussy? Do you want it? Oh no, you want it in the eyes. Let me tell you a secret, baby. I only want it in the eyes. In the eyes.
One of his most famous quotes is, "I love it when I'm fucking the girls. I want to see all the emotions. I want to see the surprise. I want to see the shock. I want to see the joy."
And I watched one recently that he was screwing this girl, and then he was putting it in her anus, and she was just going, just clearly in pain. I can't imagine anyone getting any pleasure from that. Just her, like, the man, I mean, you know, as well as the woman, obviously. And then she goes...
So nobody in that situation was enjoying this.
He was, but I can't imagine how. And then she was going, and then she goes, "Ouch! Ouch!" And whilst still cramming it in, just lays over and goes, "No, baby, I don't like this word. I don't like this word. No, I don't like this."
He's such a deviant. He's just been in the porn industry way too long. He's 30 gross. Years too long. He's so gross. He took his kids to the Avian Awards because they need to see what they're dating.
I know. And because he's got that, he's Italian.
He kind of gets away with it.
No, but I don't understand I don't understand how, but because, I don't know, he likes eating ragu. He reckons it's fine to take your kids to, like, the premiere. And all the porn stars are like, this is a very cute. And show him your pee-pee. Show him. Is he got a big pee-pee like his pep-pep? Show him the pee-pee. And show you your pee-pee if you show him your ass.
I don't know who's right at this situation. Are we too prudish?
I don't.
Or is this guy living life as it should be? Because
that's the big question. And this is a great segue. This is a great segue.
Because we are discussing this now. Because I've been reading a book about human sexuality.
Because
and
Jordan
is... I think Rocco Siffredi's right.
I think so. I don't. Well, you're gonna have even to. You're gonna have to.
Even the filming part seems more natural than having sex in an enclosed area.
Well, you know what?
Such as right now. You know what I've just realized? Yeah. We're gonna be here in the morning by ourselves. We can do some pre-recording. This is a pretty private area.
You wanna have sex?
You could have sex with your girlfriend in here.
Oh.
And I can watch through the window. There's a sound window out there, and I can just be the producer of it. And, you know that.
Are you
this
saying,
is what I'm saying?
Are you
this
saying you want to be a porn now. Producer?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I just want to watch.
That's right, guys. Everyone who had suspicions of Jordan being a massive creep, well, pring, you were right.
I think that after doing my research, my perversions have been proven correct. By the way, can I just really make this really obvious? I don't want to watch Miss Love having sex. But I'm saying that probably everybody who's listening right now, there's a part of their mind that is really suppressed, and our sexual deviant friend has it right.
Yeah.
Because he's really into this stuff. He's really into mass orgies.
Jesus.
He's really into
worst example
watching
though, because,
other people have sex.
But worst example though, because there's so many other elements that are just gross and completely
what, the guy getting fucked with a strap-on by his wife? Yeah. No. That's, again, whatever floats your boat.
No, just the narcissism. But anyways, what Jordan's read this book, and apparently there's a lot of scientific perspectives.
Because it's going through
on how, I mean, we're all just... I'm sorry, no one wants to have sex with two people on top of each other silently thinking about the queen. That is not normal. So to deny that everyone doesn't have this sort of level of, like, whatever you want to call it, freakishness, is just, it's just downright ignorant, isn't it? You know?
Apparently so. Because
but this is what I want to know. Are you saying that everyone should be in between feasts and I guess making the world go round, much like the Roman times, should just go around in mass violent orgies in the streets? Is that your solution?
You're kind of putting words in my mouth. But yes.
Case closed. Okay.
I think that this is what this book is arguing.
Yeah.
The most natural way to have sex is for one woman to have a train line of men cramming their pee-pees in a VV. because, first of all, a woman to reach orgasm takes way longer than a guy does.
Yeah.
And if you look at pornography, I think it's something like 95% ratio are gangbangs, and 5% are reverse gangbangs.
Right.
Guys get off to watching a huge amount of other guys having sex with one woman.
Right. Damn.
And that is what Bonopo chimps do, which is one of the closest relatives to us.
Whoa.
And there is a lot of evidence and research. First of all, the evidence and research shows that women get aroused by other women having sex, two men having sex, heterosexual sex, even animals having sex.
Whoa.
Pretty intense stuff. Ladies, you say that we're sexual deviants. You get off to bestiality. I've never gone that far. And I've seen some atrocious things that are probably worse than bestiality in many ways.
Jesus. This is getting so real.
Well, obviously, come on, if you have an Asian fetish, you're obviously going to move towards Japanese porn, and we all know what that's like.
You
don't, do you? Because you're so into freshen your drink, Gavin. Those kind of women. He really likes women that you can definitely see going, if I could afford shoes, I'd keep them as clean as yours,
It's true. The more that they have, like, arthritis in their wrists from, like, more hectic dusting motions, then I'm more turned on. The more they've dusted.
Your ideal woman, your ideal sexual scenario would be if you're a gardener to a lord and lady in ye olde England and you're having it off with the scullery maid. Just you love the outdoors. And you love extremely pale women because they're never allowed outside in an already extremely cloudy environment.
I don't know. I guess so. Just like, I'm just the boring kind of classic, you know, the old, like, I guess I want to be with a woman based on how much milk she'll produce. But they're very interesting points.
That's what this is, that men, they get turned on to watching heterosexual porn, or if they're gay, they get turned on to gay porn. But both of them get turned on to watching a huge amount of men having sex with one or the other.
But the thing is,
and so the other part of this is that in every anthropological study from Neolithic societies that have very little contact with the outside world.
Mm.
More or less what happens is the anthropologist comes in, some really nice dude with a banana leaf on his cock just comes up and goes, hello, I own two things. I have this banana leaf, I have a pig, and then we fuck all the women together. You want to fuck them? I don't know why it's Rocco Siffredi. This is Brazil.
Yeah, he just, yeah. Well, I think
imagine if it was so natural that he has the quintessential Neolithic accent as well.
Oh my God, that'd be... I don't know what.
And 70% of all language is yes.
Yes. Oh my
God. So that's what happens. They get invited to have sex with any of the women there, and the women just go, go, have sex with me now. And that's the natural order of things.
Yeah.
Then we've just put in so many barriers in between this, and it mostly came from the agricultural revolution.
Yeah, this part's amazing. If you think about it.
Yes, because what happened before that, when we were tribes and skerricking around for berries, figs, aardvarks, the tastiest of all mammals.
There was no genetic predisposition to have a partner, essentially, back then, right?
None.
Yeah. Yeah. Pre-farming. It was
and
like,
how beautiful is this thought? When you go into Neolithic tribes and you ask them,
what's up?
What's that? Who owns those children? And there'll just be a bunch of kids in the middle, you know, usually the kids jumping on a giant anaconda and torturing it to death. Something cruel.
But
the point is that there's 50 of them in the center, and then they'll ask the anthropologists who owns these kids, and then they'll say something to the effects of, they're all our children.
So good.
So they don't know who's the dad and who's the mum. They just all raise them collectively as a batch.
I think that's really cool.
It kind of shows that Marx was right. Communism is the natural order of things.
Well, I guess so, yeah. I mean...
Except for more chimp.
I mean,
chimpsism.
It's just, I don't know. I think you're overlooking the under advantages that their society might face, but I definitely think it's a more natural state to be.
I don't know. I was thinking about this the other day, and actually, while Tim's in here, Tim,
would you rather
live for 100 years or live 30 years in a Neolithic tribe where you can go around, screwing have sex with any of the women that you like? Every day would be really adventurous.
30 years. Okay, well, he just answers it there. You're right.
It's really unnatural, isn't it? Everybody has this inclination. And I'd be really interested to see what women think about this as well. Because
I would be too, because there'd be a lot of bottles being hurled.
Do you think that this is right?
Not universally, but a lot of girls would be like, how can you say sex is going
to
be...
But I get to do it as well. They get the choice. Like, would they?
Oh yeah, but they no. But I'm just saying, if you introduce this idea now, I feel like that they wouldn't be. I don't think they would bite.
Well, this is the study as well. Is that
not a lot of not all of them?
A classic thing with a midlife crisis is the man has an affair, and it's so rife throughout society because it's just so against our nature to keep having sex with one woman over and over and over, and longer than you live normally as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like we're being punished.
I know. I agree.
But the thing is that
we created our own rules here.
Yeah, this is the weirdest part.
But it's not our fault. It's wheat's fault. Wheat. Yeah.
Isn't that incredible? Because they're saying that the biggest advantage, the biggest winner of humans evolving from caveman times has been wheat.
Yeah,
because it just went from this pissant, really weak little grain that was found in between grasses in, I think, Europe or something. And now it's like 15% of the Earth's biomass.
Oh.
It won, man.
Yeah, yes. Wheat won.
Slow clap for wheat.
Yeah, go wheat.
It made us servants to it.
Oh, yeah.
Because apparently it takes way longer to cultivate wheat than it does to go out and forage.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes your diet much worse.
Way worse.
It actually gives you a worse quality of life in terms of early people had continual malnourishment. There'd just be a king that would be as nourished as, like, us.
Yeah.
That'd be it. And then everybody else would be like,
on bread.
Borderline starving.
Yeah.
Their whole life. And not having energy, because wheat doesn't give you enough. It just gives you glucose and that's it.
Damn.
And so, yeah, basically, the only trade-off was that we're able to have more people.
Right.
And so we went for that.
But wheat
instead of oh man. Once more, Jordan, you're just moving us all into the direction of let's live in the log cabin with me and hunt elk.
Yeah, I think that you're moving towards that.
And I think we all should.
But it shouldn't just be one person by itself, which is
let's
really what you're fantasizing about.
Not really. I mean, maybe we... The thing is, I'm bound to society by certain needs, and you are too, aka our careers, or rather my attempt at a career and your career. But could we just hunt elk and come down out of the mountains incrementally for, like, to play shows?
But how would you be able to get the audience in the first place?
Well, all I need is the internet. All I need is a recording studio, the internet, and to play shows. It's not like I'm going...
Right, so essentially what you're saying is all I need is modern society to be exactly as it is.
Yes.
But I just want to live in the mountains.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
here's a question. If you could
talk about pick and choose.
Here's a question. If you could sacrifice your career and your success for a lifestyle which is essentially no wheat, or a world that in which wheat is struck from the earth and it's like foraging and orgies, what would you go for? Be honest.
See, the incremental fear of dipping your head into water because it's been 2 days since you saw water last, and then not knowing that it's another tribe's territory, and then they go and spear you in the back. That freaks me out. I'm going to be honest. I think I'm a little more cowardly than that.
Okay.
But at the same time, I do really like the idea of everyone on the planet being Rocco Siffredi.
maybe the mountains is the best alternative. We'll just live in the mountains and incrementally come down.
No, because this is the whole point of this discussion, Ms. Love, is that sexuality as it is, apparently, has been extremely altered from what is natural.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think the solution is to become
hiding
a hermit. When instead of having one pussy, you just have Rocco Siffredi's voice going, yes, yes, I like no pussy, no pussy.
Well, I think we've come to a conclusion here. Our friend that's on the dole, Gabe Borghino, has the best life on earth. Just screwing chicks on Tinder every other night and, like, living off the government.
Rate him out of 10 in happiness.
I think he might be a little bit more unhappy than I would say. I think the only reason he'd be a little bit unhappy is the perception of other people of him. But if you strike that, I'd give him like a 7.5 out of 10. That's how happy he is. In terms sexually, 9 out of 10. Yeah.
Well, this is what I got from the book, is that it is
He's killing it.
Quite necessary. There's two. There's a pro and a con to it, for men at least, and definitely for women as well. There's a pro and a con to it in that if you are having sex with just one person, it sustains your ability to focus on other things because yeah. you've always got it on tap.
Yeah.
But it does rapidly decrease your testosterone and sperm count, which is why throughout the Western world, the sperm count has dropped in the last 100 years by 50%.
Whoa. Are you saying
so
because...
It's because it just makes you essentially less of a man.
Oh, my God.
But the upside of that is that if you're a genius, but for everybody else, if you're just working as a crane operator, my suggestion to you is just go see a hooker.
Oh, my God. I don't want to do that. But that's crazy. So you're saying because in... Are you saying... Because, like, in Islam, it can be like, I have 10 wives. That's they're killing it. Their sperm count is higher, and they're essentially doing fine because of that.
I don't think they are either.
Oh, okay.
I think that the thing that men need, which is all mammals and even most birds,
yeah,
is continual new boosie. Which is why when we were laughing at Rocco Zaffredi saying, because he quit porn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then he went straight to hookers.
Yeah.
And he saw one every single day. Yeah. And then they were just going, oh, you're so good. You should be porn star. And he goes,
he shed a tear.
I was born to fuck. I can't lie. And so he went back to porn as a result and then just started having sex with one woman a week. And then he went on a reality TV show in Italy where you are put on an island for a month by yourself naked.
Oh, my
and
God.
He said so... The greatest... It's just a walking prophecy, this man. He said, as a result of being on that island... I've been a porn star. I've been more naked than I wear clothes, but I never felt so naked as I did on that island.
Why did he? What the hell? It's so weird. It's good food for thought because a lot of people wouldn't have thought of it. And, you know, interestingly enough, I think a lot of people are sort of squashing those taboos now. Even like, you know, my girlfriend is sort of a little bit more like, she's not your typical girl that was, I suppose, maybe like 20 years ago. It's like, you cheated on me, I'll cut your dick off. I think she understands the fluidity of things like that. And like, you know.
Apparently, in 50% of the scenarios,
it's getting better.
In interviewing women that kicked their husband out for cheating on them.
Yeah.
Half of them said, they asked, why did you do it? And they said, because that's what you do when your husband cheats on you.
It's a social thing.
So it was a social construct.
I know.
And oh, I think, God, we're getting into SJW terms. Let's move on. I don't want to go down that path.
Hey, but for the right reasons, screw more. I don't think anyone can argue with that. But anyway, food for thought, you know. So if you've been happily married for 10 years, go
really
and cheat
like
on
to
your
know
wife.
On the podcast. Yeah, just tell us.
Actually, yeah. How can we get specific feedback on this? I don't know.
Yeah, just like anyone to write into the comments bar if... Are we crazy?
Are we talking smack down here at Brooklyn 109 FM, Brooklyn's third favorite radio station?
Definitely called Pastrami FM. I got a question for you.
FM. Yeah.
And it needs the John Cena music. Missile.
Yeah.
If there was a battle royale between Gough Whitlam, Paul Keating, Bob Hawke, and Mark Latham, as in last man standing.
Whoa.
Who do you think would win that?
You're going to have to roll those off again a little bit slower.
So it's four Labour leaders of the last half a century, which is Gough Whitlam.
Gough Whitlam is... Was Gough Whitlam the
tell
passing
me
of the...
You'd know him.
Was that passing of the dirt? Passing of the land?
I can't believe you know that part, but good on you. That is Gough Whitlam.
Okay, yep, him.
Paul Keating. The one that has epic takedowns in
Parliament. Oh, yeah, Paul Keating, your favourite, your man. Yep,
the guy that you referred to the other day as Australia's Ben Shapiro.
that probably wasn't that accurate. Paul Keating's had, like, necked way more stubbies than Ben Shapiro. But, yeah.
And, no, this is the guy that's necked more stubbies.
Oh, The world record
Hawkey.
Holder. Yeah, the world record holder for beers. Yeah, here.
And then
yeah.
Mark Latham, who I think still, despite all of his recent controversies in the paper, is still most known for beating up a cabbie. And probably 70% of Australia going, yeah, they overcharge. Good on him.
Is is Mark Latham the guy that's on The Rebel now?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. Who would win in terms of, like, are you saying overall attributes or just in terms of gusto in a fist fight? Are you talking
yeah,
about?
I'm talking about who's got the most stamina to punch the other three
oh,
out.
Oh, okay. That, oh, man. Okay, because that's a different question.
I was discussing this with my social media guy the other day, and we had very different opinions.
Okay,
on
I'm
very interested to know what yours is.
It's a tough one. Okay, in terms of just gusto, it's hard to tell because I don't know them all that well, but I'm going to say, I'm just gonna eliminate them as I go, okay? I think... What's his name? The passing of the sand guy. Although he...
Gough Whitlam.
Gough
Whitlam.
I cannot
believe you don't know this guy.
Although Gough Whitlam is probably the best out of all those, I reckon, in terms of his contribution.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about who could take it down.
I know, but I'm saying, I'm just knocking him off one by one. So although he might be the best in terms of contribution, he had that vibe of like still a touch of like, a little bit English, like a little bit of that sort of like, I play cricket on Sundays and he's quite dignant. So he's out. He's not going to throw a good punch.
Because while I'd agree that yes, he can play cricket, I think that would work in his attribute of him saying, that's why I know how to swing a bat. Smacks Bob Hawke in the head and he's out in one hit.
You can imagine that he would be a slow walker and a slow turner of the head. He turned his head slowly. So someone said, tapped him on the shoulder and go, and he'd get knocked out real hard.
Like the bully in Hey Arnold, slow but powerful.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, he'd be powerful, but he's too slow, so he's out. So now we got three. Paul Keating. Let's start with the next one I would actually probably knock out. The Boozer. What's his face?
Bob Hawke.
Bob Hawke, the Boozer.
God.
He's a freaking alcoholic. He's going to be too, like, munted to hit.
True. And he also used to cry nationally on television too much.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the human side of him. He was just a wuss.
Yeah. So he's gone, ski reform. He's gone.
Yeah.
So now we got two left. It's going to be the...
Keating v. Latham.
In
the battle royale of a century. Yeah, see, the thing is... Hillbillies would be so spoiled in that if that was televised on WWE. They would not understand just how incredible this fight is.
I am going to... Okay, so Mark Latham was ousted from his own party, right?
Yeah. No, he did...
He retired? What happened?
He moved out by himself because they were angling to off him as he lost an election against John Howard when the electorate... kind of wanted to get rid of John Howard, but
oh, wow.
It's because he was, it was two reasons. First of all, he said, I'm going to protect the rainforests in Tasmania, and Tasmanians went, what? I think wood chips are more beautiful than old growth. This man's insane. And so they voted for John Howard.
Oh my God.
It was that reason, but it was also the fact that you could just tell that this guy liked to punch MFs out.
What's MFs? Oh, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that because here's my breakdown of a fight between those two. One, Mark Latham, for that reason, is a bitter, bitter man. Two, I think he tried to kill himself and wrote a book about it, and it was like, my battle with depression. And I'm pretty sure very closely related to his depression was rage. Paul Keating could throw a punch, but Paul Keating's a skinny kid. A skinny guy. Paul Keating's like... kind of like me. He's very skinny, and he'd have.
He's got the agility. He's probably got the reach.
Dude, he's got the fever.
This is a ridiculous conversation.
He's got the fever. He's got the fever, and he would punch on. But dude, one solid hit to Keating's jaw, and he is down for the count. No matter how much he speaks about the working class, he'll go down as one of the scrappy kids of the working class. So I'm giving it to Mark Latham.
True. When Mark Latham's interest appears to be beating people up. As opposed to Paul Keating,
Mark
whose
Latham's
hobby was European clocks. Yeah, I think we can safely say, and the winner is Mark Latham.
Which is kind of sad because he's my least favorite. He's my least favorite of all of them. He's my least liked person of them. But
see, I thought that you'd love Latham.
Nah. He's very uncharismatic.
He is. He's got no swagger.
He's got a head like a potato.
And on that, I think we need to get out of here, Bislav. Mark Latham, your head looks like a vegetable. And even though most people have always said that John Howard's head is more like a potato, we have arbitrarily decided, much like we have at this Battle Royale, that you win that too. Good on you, double winner.
All right, cheers, guys.
See you next week.
See ya.